All right. This morning, we are continuing on our teaching series titled The Atmosphere for Kingdom Manifestations. The Atmosphere for Kingdom Manifestations. We've been exploring this series for the past 7 weeks. And if you are joining us for the first time, I want to encourage you, if you go onto our website, you'll find all the teachings there. Go churchpretoria.co.za and the Lord will bless you. Now, we've been talking about the first part of this series has been all about life in the kingdom. We've been saying, how does life in the kingdom look like? This is massive. I cannot exhaust it. But I believe from time to time, the Lord exposes us to certain aspects. And for that season, that is what we are privy to. So we've been exploring life in the kingdom as a trigger for every believer to desire the fullness of life in the kingdom. Where you say to yourself, there has to be more. I refuse to settle for less. I refuse to settle for less. If there is more, I want that more. All right? You know, in our natural lives, you'd find that you've got your cell phone. After 2 years, they say to you, there's a new one that has come out. Coming, you know, your contract is up for renewal. We want more, we want better, but how about in the kingdom? For us to say, if there is more, I want that more. I want that more. I want to experience more of God. If I can hear the audible voice of God, why not? I want to hear that. If I can hear prophetic dreams at night, why not? Lord, I want that as I sleep tonight. I make that prayer every single night. Lord, as I sleep tonight, speak to me through dreams. And the Lord does that. So we are talking about life in the kingdom. We realize 5 aspects of life in the kingdom. Number one, when you are in the kingdom, you have access to forgiveness of sin. Very powerful. Without the forgiveness of sin, we cannot see God. We cannot experience kingdom life. Very important. Number two, when you are in the kingdom of God, you have access to God the Father. You don't need to be fatherless. There is a Father in heaven who says, my children, I have prepared a place for you in heaven. Jesus said that. He said, I'm going to my Father and I will prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you can be as well. Glory be to God. Number three, when you're in the kingdom, you have access to kingdom authority. When we say, thy kingdom come. In Matthew 16, Jesus was telling Peter, I will give you the keys for the kingdom of God so that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosened in heaven. Kingdom authority. When you speak, something must happen. Come on now. When I speak, something must happen in the spirit. Because of kingdom authority. Number four, when you're in the kingdom, you have access to a purposeful life. Do you have a purpose? Something bigger than you? Something that can outlive you? Today we speak of Nelson Mandela. We speak of the great people that have gone by. We still talk about them. Their lives are outliving them. And this is the desire of God for you. So that you live a life that's bigger than you. Now, last week, we spoke about access to kingdom life. Access to kingdom family, rather. Kingdom family. Now, I want to continue there this morning. I ran out of time last week. And as I was preparing, I realized there's more than what God wants to say to us concerning kingdom family. So we're going to talk more today about kingdom family. Now, we looked at a number of things. We looked at the anatomy of kingdom family. The anatomy, the you know, what makes up the kingdom family. And we realized that when it comes to kingdom family is devoted to fundamental spiritual disciplines. We say for us to become different from any other community, we've got to be devoted to the word, devoted to prayer, devoted to fellowship. If we are to be different from any other environment, you and I need to love the Word of God. You and I need to be obsessed with prayer. To an extent that if a day goes by without you reading the word, without you praying, you feel like something has gone wrong. How many of you feel good when you've left your cell phone at home? You feel like something is not right. You feel like you're incomplete. Why? You've left the phone at home. Now, should we not feel incomplete when you leave home without praying? Come on now. Should you not feel incomplete if you don't pray right through the day, if you don't eat the word? Something needs to shift in terms of our priorities. So we're saying we should love the word, love prayer, and love fellowship. Number two, we said kingdom family shares a strong bond of love. We love each other, don't we? We're into each other. There has to be a level of love that is unbreakable. There has to be a level of love that goes beyond even your natural family's love. Why? Because when I'm up there in heaven one day, it's not about mom or dad or my wife. We are all brothers before God. So the relationships we find in the kingdom of God are eternal. So we better love each other right now because we are stuck with each other for eternity. Okay? You got to love me because I will be with you right through life. Now, we started exploring this aspect of love in families. We spoke about how there is sibling rivalry. I see my kids on the kitchen counter. They are into each other. They fight and they do all sorts of things. But after a few hours, all is good. All is fine. I'm sure we can do better in the house of God, in the family of God, where sometimes things don't just gel, but I'm still your brother. Hello? I'm still your pastor. Very, very interesting. So we started looking at some observations of love in action. Sorry, I'm trying to bring you to speed and to remind you what we talked about last week. So we said, number one, love never gives up. Okay? We read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love never gives up, number one. Number two, love gives of itself. Love is generous. Love is sacrificial. Love is prepared to be inconvenienced so that another can be convenienced. Yeah, that's what it is. Love is prepared to be inconvenienced. Number three, love does not discriminate. There's neither Jew, there's neither Greek, there's neither free, there's neither bound, there's neither woman, there's neither man, but we are all one in Christ. So in other words, I am Christian first before I'm South African. Right? I'm Christian first before I say I come from KZN or I come from Angola or wherever. The first thing that comes into me is I'm a child of God. So whether I look pink, blue, green, yellow, that's a secondary issue. We tend to major on the minors. We need to turn around and say, let's major on the major things. The issue is the blood of Jesus that makes us one. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, I want to just take off from there and we'll see where we will finish. I want you to realize that love is integrous in nature. When you're talking about kingdom family, what helps us to remain intact is this thing called integrity. You know, I was reading a place where Paul was telling Timothy, and he was saying to Timothy, unless I come late, or he says, maybe I'll come late, but before I come, I want you to teach the saints how they should behave themselves in the house of God. In other words, there's etiquette when you go to a golf club. There are certain things you cannot do when you're on the greens. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? You know, if you're a rugby player, there are certain things that are expected of you. Like picking rubbish after yourself. You know the story that broke out a couple of weeks ago? Chelsea Kobe was there picking paper from the field after everybody else. And the whole world went, wow, look at this superstar. He's so humane. Okay? And another guy says, but why should we celebrate him? What he's doing is a natural thing. Well, common things are not common to all. Hello? Common things are not common to all. You see, greeting you might be common for me, but for another, it's a foreign concept. That is why we need to say, how do we make this family work? In our diversity, in the way we are different, in the way we think, the way we view our world. But today I want to talk about love is integrous in nature. You see, if you are to walk in love, there are some things that should be found in you. There are some things that should be found in me. You see, kingdom family is as strong as the individual members of the family. You know, the chain is as strong as every link in the chain. It is as weak as the weak part of that link, of those links. Everything else can be strong, but if there is one link that is weak, that chain is weak. Just think about that. Because that is, if pressure is applied, that is where it snaps first. If pressure is applied to this church, where will it give? Will it give from here, the pulpit? From the back, from the sides? Where will it give? One of the characters of a strong person is the ability to be consistent and consistent. You are constant and you are consistent. What you see is what you get. Can we say that about ourselves? Can we say that about me? But we know that's how the pastor is. In other words, you are able to defend me because you're able to say, I've known that man, that's not him. He didn't do that. I have known him for the past 6 years. I have known her for the past 3 months. She does not talk like that. You see, we need to come to a place where we ask ourselves, am I suffering from a possible multiple personality disorder? I'm like this today. Tomorrow, I'm like that. You know the chameleon mentality? The chameleon takes on the color of the background. If the background is red hot, it becomes red hot. If the background is lime in color, it becomes lime in color. We've got to ask ourselves, I am red hot, this is who I am. Whether my surroundings are cool blue or not, I am me. Hallelujah. What you see is what you get. You see, when we have that attitude in the church, it becomes a safe and secure environment. We are able to know what to expect. If I'm operating in a team, the question is, am I so consistent and constant in what I do that my team members know what to expect from me? If I commit to come, will I come? Am I known for being a man of my word, or I am known for being a man who does not fulfill his word? If I say to you, I'm going to come and visit you, do people get ready, or they say, we will wait until we get the bell on the door? Huh? I plan to visit a family. I went last week, so I received this message and we agreed on the time. So the time that was on the message, I read this message after midnight. So I think I was a bit drowsy. I was working. So I saw a 1. So in my mind, I registered 1 p.m. And yet it was 11 a.m. So that was Wednesday night. We agreed with this family. Guys, I'll come see you. And in my mind, I registered 1 p.m. There I was having breakfast with my family, late breakfast on the Saturday. We're having fun, and the next thing the message comes, Pastor M, are you still coming? It was 25 past 11. And I went to the message like, oh, it was 11 o'clock. They were so gracious. So I drove fast to the place. And the wife said to her husband, you know what? I told you, Pastor M is not like that. He meets time. Something must have happened. Either he went to our old place or something has happened. What were they expecting? Me to be there at 11 o'clock. Because that is me. Who are you? Do we know each other here as a church? Very important. You see, the world is full of hypocrisy. The world will lie to you and it will not feel anything. The world will look at you and tell you a lie and they don't feel anything in their hearts. When I say the world, I'm talking about the system that governs things out there outside of kingdom family. My question is, what should I find when I come to kingdom family? Should I find something that is different from what I experience out there? You see, when people come into kingdom family, they find a place where trust flourishes, where the wearing of masks is not the norm. Okay, let's talk about that. Where the wearing of masks is not the norm. I'm not talking in relation to COVID. I'm talking to relation to your character, whereby you can change your face based on circumstances. You see, I've got a number of masks, about 4 or 5 of them. And I'm telling you, every time I wear a mask that's different from yesterday, I look different. Have you seen that? Your mask is blue today. If you wear a black mask tomorrow, there's something different. The question is, are we wearing masks in our lives, in our interaction with people? You know the type of mask to wear depending on the company that you have. If you are around Bazalwani Christians, you wear that Christendom mask. Why? Because it suits the moment. The wearing of masks cannot be the norm except in COVID conditions. Now, go with me, Matthew 5, verse 33. I'm talking about love is integrous in what it does. Jesus was talking, and he was busy restating the law. He was saying, in the old covenant, this is what you were told, but now I say. Verse 31 says, again, you've heard that it has been said to the ancients, you shall not swear falsely. But you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Not by heaven, because it is God's throne. Verse 37. Simply let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Why? Anything more than this comes from the evil one. When somebody has to swear in order to convince you that what they are saying they will fulfill, that person is lying to you. You don't have to swear in order to put weight behind your word. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You should be okay with a no. You should be okay with a yes. But when you say yes, you're saying no to something else inevitably. Whenever you say no to something, you're saying yes to another thing. And this morning, I want you to know, if we don't live like this, kingdom family will not work. It won't work. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Anything more comes from the evil one. But one of the things I've realized that Christians are afraid to say no. If I come and ask you, can you please come and do this thing for me? Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. And we must be okay with each other's no's. You know, there's a book that I read by John Townsend, where they talk about boundaries. And one of the boundaries there is ability to say no. You draw a line and you say, I'm not able to do that. You know? I believe it's great character to be able to say no, and you're still okay with your no. Somebody else might not be okay with it, but if you're okay with it, that is integrity. You don't put yourself under pressure to try and do something that you cannot do. Proverbs 11, verse 1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord. But an accurate weight is his delight. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord. He's talking about integrity. When you make a vow before God, when you make a commitment to the family of God, to this great family, God is saying, be accurate about it. Follow through. You see, when we become two-faced in our dealings with each other, we are bound to destroy the fabric of this family. That's one of the reasons why churches split. It's because when we are in the meeting, we seem like we are talking one language, but outside there's a different conversation. What's being said in the corridors? What's being said in the corridors? So these principles I'm teaching you don't just work in church. It works in the environment where you are. It's a way of life that brings glory to God. Listen to this. Love follows through. Love under-promises and over-delivers. Love is truthful in its operation. A church community is broken by allowing the lying spirit in its midst. We need to say these things. We've got to shame the devil before he shames us. You know, you would think that in a family of God set up, we shouldn't be lying to one another. Let's just walk in truth. Hello? You see, the devil is the father of lies. And therefore, lies and deceit cannot be part of kingdom family's DNA. You know, I've realized that in churches, we have tended to put weight on certain sins. Ooh, she fall into fornication. Ooh, there's a big issue here. Ooh, she did it. Well, somebody has just been lying to the church leadership. Should we not deal with that as well? When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he said, you are full of lies because your father is a father of lies. How about us here as a church? Should we not relook at our lives and the words that come out of our mouth and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I haven't been truthful with my brothers. I haven't been truthful even with myself. The Bible says the heart of a man is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? Another guy said, the heart of a man is so deceitful that it can even lie to its owner. Hallelujah. John chapter 8 verse 32. Jesus was talking about the truth. And he says, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. It is true for the truth around the gospel, around being saved, around being born again. But it is also true in our day-to-day lives. Do you know that when you speak the truth, you don't need to remember? Lawyers will tell you that. When you speak the truth, you don't need to be reminded of your testimony. But when you lie, you have to remember hard. Like, what was the sequence of events again? What did I say then? Where was I standing at 6 p.m.? If it is the truth, you don't need to remember. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When you walk in truth, you are a free being. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. Kingdom family is a place of freedom where we should be free to be ourselves. Let's be true to ourselves. And I want you to know when we do that, it unlocks things in the spirit. If we can get that as right as a church, this church will go into places. Galatians 5 verse 13. The Bible says, for you, brothers, were called to freedom. For you were called to freedom, but do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love. Do you know that when we are in the house of the Lord, we are free to offer of our time, to offer of our finances, to offer of ourselves? You are free to do that. And nobody can ask you to account. A lot of people will tell you, well, I account to God. And one of the difficult things of being a pastor is that when you work with volunteers, you can't really put a demand. Because sometimes when you put a demand, the volunteers walk. Come on now. I'm not talking about you guys. I've been a pastor many years. I've seen it somewhere else. When you ask the question, my sister, you committed to do this. Why did you not follow through? And if that sister is not careful, immediately offense rises. But here the Bible says, do not use your freedom for an opportunity for the flesh. But serve one another in love, where you say to yourself, I will lay down my life for you. It doesn't matter whether somebody thanks me, it doesn't matter if somebody sees me, but I will lay down my life for this family. Kingdom family. You see, one of the behaviors that destroys kingdom family is when we fail to honor each other. It's a bit quiet this morning, but it's important that we talk about these things. Hallelujah. When we fail to honor one another, you see, I've seen believers, and I'm telling you, a lot of Christians are afraid of doing business with other Christians. I remember talking to somebody who said, you know what, Pastor, there was a guy in our church who does kitchen cupboards. I paid them. They came and they did 50% of the job. Christian. We go together to church. Let's keep the business among the believers. Let's ensure that we grow together. But what I've seen from time to time, Christians fail to honor one another. I don't know if you've seen it. I've seen relationships in church souring because somebody lended money out, but money was never paid back. And so, guys, don't lend each other money here. Yeah. The last thing that I want is people coming into the office like, Pastor, I'm leaving the church because, you know that brother, he owes me. Well, it has happened. And it's important that we talk about these things. I want you to realize that when we are in the house of God, that is where excellence must be seen. Now, I want to read you this scripture, 1 Timothy 6, verse 2. And I'll extrapolate from it. Now, Paul is saying to Timothy, those who have believing masters, in other words, if you're working for a believer, should not show disrespect because they are brothers. Because we know they're not going to take me on. I'm telling you, if somebody comes to my house and they do a shoddy job, and I'll take them on. But you find that as believers, sometimes you shy back. And you're like, I don't want to shake the boat too much. So he says here, should not show disrespect because they are brothers, but should serve them all the more. Why? Since those receiving their good service are beloved believers. Since the person you're serving is a child of God, is your brother. Why? Teach and encourage these principles. Relationships sour because of that. And this morning, saints, I want you to realize we need to get these things right. I should be able to recommend your business because you have provided a great service. But am I able to do that? I say, you know what? In order to save myself from embarrassment, I will not recommend a believer's business. I'm telling you, people have made that call. Why? Because they had a bad touch with a believer. I should be able to say, I will recommend your business. I will recommend you because you work hard. But in a voluntary setup, I see that you're not pulling your weight. I cannot recommend you. Do you see where I'm going with this? These are principles that have broken down churches. Great relationships soured just because somebody decided to be dishonoring. Let's leave it there. Did you get something this morning? Very, very important for us to get this right. Number three, kingdom family values unit. United we stand, divided we fall. United we stand, divided we fall. One of the strategies of the enemy that he uses to destabilize kingdom family is this thing called division. Die is two, vision is... Now you've got one church, but multiple visions. This one is running with his own thing, this one with his own thing, but we've got one vision. What is it that God has called us to be? To become a God-honoring people. In whatever we do, glory be to God. Division is a strategy that the enemy uses against families, against businesses, against communities, against nations. Whenever there's division, that entity will fall apart. John 17, verse 11. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures around this issue of unity. And I want you to ask yourself, are you pushing unity in the church? By what we say, by what we support. Jesus was now praying. He was about to leave. And he's thinking about his disciples. And one of the things that was so heavy on his heart is this thing called unity. Now he says, Holy Father, I'm about to leave this world to return and be with you. But my disciples will remain here. So I ask that by the power of your name, protect each one of them that you've given me. And watch over them so that they will be united as one, even as we are one. So Jesus prays, and he knew very well the enemy will come in our midst. In order to sow division and disharmony, we need to be alert. That is why Peter says, be alert and be sober, for the devil, your adversary, is roaring around, seeking whom he may devour. You know, the devil will cause us to pick offense where offense should not be picked, and resulting in disharmony in the community of believers. So Jesus was praying to the Father and said, Father, please keep them. May they be united. May they be one, even as we are one. Division. Multiplicity of visions in one entity. It cannot work. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. What do I think of concerning you? I cannot love you more than the thoughts I have towards you. Just think. I cannot love you more than what I think about you. You see, at some point there will be a synchronization of my thought patterns and my love pattern. So I can fake it for a moment. Where I just tell you, guys, I love you, I love you, I love you. But back at the ranch, I'm saying bad things about you. It's a matter of time before the two come together. And you'll be surprised, like, what? Did the pastor say that? He's just saying what he's been thinking all along. Be perfectly united in mind and thought. Colossians 3 verse 13. Bear with each other. That is one way that we can remain united. Bearing with each other, because we are prone to weaknesses. Nobody is perfect. So the only way to remain united is to bear with each other and forgive one another. Sometimes it's easy to forgive somebody out in the world, but not so easy to forgive the one that you work with in church. Have you seen that? Sometimes it's easy to forgive a stranger than it is to forgive your own blood brother. You know, when hatred rises up in a family, becomes a vendetta, and they even kill each other, like, your brothers. Now here the Bible says, bear with each other, bear with me, bear with him. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So important for the church to understand that the enemy walks in between us, soaring minds and thoughts, patterns, and before we know it, we don't see eye to eye. That is why we need to be alert and be sober. You see, one of the reasons why the devil does not want you and I to be united, it is because the day that we are united, we are able to achieve way more then we are able to, by ourselves, put this down. Unity among believers results in an overflow of breakthroughs. When believers are united, when husband and wife are united, it results in an overflow of breakthroughs. You see, the Bible says two are better than one. Okay? They have a reward out of your effort. One of the reasons why marriages struggle, you would expect husband and wife to be so tight all the time. The reason why there's tension and there's division in the bedroom is because the devil knows the moment these two are so united, he cannot overcome them. Because naturally you would expect husband and wife to be so tight because they are united, because they are married, but the devil comes and he sows division right there. Matthew 18 verse 19. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. So when the Lord sees unity, he is attracted by it. The Bible says, oh, how beautiful it is for brothers to dwell in unity. It is like oil that is poured on the beard of Aaron, running down to the hem of his garment. And the Lord commands a blessing. You are empowered to prosper the moment we walk in unity. Hallelujah. That is why, husbands, if your wife is not in agreement concerning a project, please be patient. Don't rush off and tell her, you'll catch up with me when I'm halfway done. It's not going to work. Rather take off slowly than taking off fast and being alone. I'm telling you, when that happens, when you take off by yourself, you will hit roadblocks just down the road. Why? Because there's no unity. But the moment you take off together and you are united in this journey, it becomes easier. You are able to pray concerning that matter. I remember when we planted the church, I was for it. Like, we're going, we're going to plant the church. My wife was like, just give me time. Just give me time. I had to give her time. She had to go through her emotional journey until she grasped the whole essence. Like, you know what? I'm ready. Let's go. And that's the reason why we are still here today, is because she was ready. She's not here. She's teaching the God kids there. If she was here because she was forced, she'd be saying, it's your baby. I'm not involved. Do your thing. I would not be able to say, please pray with me. I feel discouraged. My greatest fan today is my wife. She's the one who looks at me and says, you know what? God spoke to you. The Lord will honor his word. Don't give up. Let's pray. Now imagine if I forced her into this. Today she'd be like, I told you. Mm-hmm. If you had listened. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. There is a problem the moment you take off and you're doing things arbitrarily. It doesn't matter how strong you are as a man. If God gave you a wife, she is your perfect helper. Meet for you. Strong enough to see you through those moments. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. When I saw this, I interrogated this statement quite a number of times before putting it down. Your willingness to be in harmony with your brother is more important than the worship you can render to God. Your willingness to be in harmony with your brother is more important than the worship you can render to God. Pastor, are you sure about that? There is an answer in the Bible. Matthew 5, verse 23. If you are offering your gift, if you are a worship leader, if you're an usher, you're a giver in the house of God, you're a God kids teacher, you're an outreach leader. If you are offering that gift on the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, go ahead and give. No. Jesus says, leave your gift there. before the altar. First go and make right. First go and be reconciled with your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Is this still happening in our day? We think that the money we bring is so important. It doesn't matter even if there's disharmony in the church. It doesn't matter even if he's unhappy with me. I'm giving my 10,000 rand. The Lord will receive it. Sorry, he will not. You know, when you start looking at it this way, it changes your priorities. It changes what really matters to you. So here Jesus is saying, when you are about to lead us in worship, and you realize that Mercy has an issue with me, put the mic down, please. And go and say, Mercy, you know what? I just want to make right with you. I'm sorry about that issue. Can we just have a small caucus? When you do that, before you pick the mic, the anointing falls down and the people of God are ushered into the presence of God. Why? Your offering is honored. My preaching is honored because I made right with Herod. That is why I'm saying here, your willingness to be in harmony with me is more important than the amount of prayers we can give. Why? The Bible says he created that person in his image. And Jesus died for that person. There was a place where Jesus said, listen, if you make any of these little ones to stumble, if you make any of these young ones to stumble, you'd rather get a stone tied around your neck and be thrown into sea. That's serious talk. Jesus, are you really serious about that? Jesus said, yes, I'm going to die for that one. I died for that person. Now, the church needs to understand those things. That is what's on the heart of God. When we understand those basic things, it changes the way we do church. We stop making reasons for not making right. There are some of us here who need to pick cause where we are coming from and say, listen, I just want to make right. I just want to talk to you about this matter. Because there are things that block the anointing. There are things that block breakthroughs in our lives. It's principles. God is saying, if you don't forgive that person, I'm not going to forgive you. I can't do it. I cannot violate my principles just to appease you. Lord, have mercy. Now, this is the story of the church. This is the story of the family of God. Look at this. Philippians 2 verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit. Now, he's saying there are all of these things happening. Okay? If any affection and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being united in the spirit and purpose. So the key issue here is that there are many things that we can do. If we lack unity, it doesn't add value. Whatever we do. He says, please make my heart glad. He was speaking to the church at Philippi. He says, I've heard if there's any comfort from this love, any fellowship of the spirit, if you are so spiritual, follow through that spirituality by being united in spirit and purpose. Very important. So you'll find that in a church of our size, we are small. But you might find that in the smallness where we are now, there are multiple agendas. The leadership rises up and says, guys, we feel we need to be praying more. We need to spend more time in prayer. But some are like, no, prayer is not my thing. You know how it is. Prayer is not really my thing. I cannot really come. But the leadership is saying that's the only way to experience breakthrough. This is what God is calling us to do. How can two work together unless they agree? Let's look at the last aspect of kingdom family. Kingdom family is outward focused. Kingdom family is outward focused. Let's go back to the scripture we started off with last week. Matthew 3 verse 14. Outward focus. I want you to think about that. Mark 3 verse 14. And the Bible says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him. All right? So he ordained them, come to me, guys. I want to spend time with you. I want to create family with you. For what reason? That he might send them out. That he might send them out to proclaim and to have authority to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. What was the reason for them to come together? It wasn't for them to create this holy huddle that cannot be penetrated by outsiders. It was for strengthening. It was for equipping so they can go out. So that he might send them out. Church, if we are to be anything, we have to be outward focused. Put this down. Kingdom family was never designed for self-preservation. But it was designed for growth and multiplication and expansion. You know, when a church is so inward focused that it's us 20 and no more, we create this holy huddle where people come in, the first timers, they feel like, I don't belong. They just stay in their corner there. You got a cell group of 3 people. You're so tight that you're not open to people coming in. But I want you to know, Kingdom Family was never designed for self-preservation. Whenever Kingdom Family is inspired, motivated to self-preserve, that family will self-destroy. Just think about that. When we want to self-preserve, we will self-destroy. What do I mean by that? We're so much into each other that we start tripping over ourselves. We start getting into these arguments about what type of lighting we should have. No, man, these air cons need to come out. No, they should be there. No, it should be there. We end up fighting about the color of chairs in the church. You see, many fights we have in our churches stem from the fact that we are not occupied with family business. We are not occupied by what's on the heart of the Father. But Jesus said he brought them to himself so that he can send them out. He can send them out. Matthew 28 verse 19. I want to bring in a point here. Therefore, go and teach all nations. Go and teach all nations. Are we focused on growing or we are focused on preserving what we have? You know, when a church gets into the maintenance mode, what do you want to maintain? There's nothing to maintain. Go out there. The only way to maintain is to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. I want you to know that you have something that the world needs. And you need to ask yourself, this thing that I carry, am I using it to cause the Great Commission to becoming a reality in my day? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what it is. Each one of us carries something special that the Father in heaven wants to use to make the Great Commission a reality. Sometimes I ask myself, our church is called Go Church. How much going is going on? Hello? Now, if you want to know what should be the focus of the family, that is verse 19, go and teach all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. When Jesus was about to leave, after meeting his disciples for those 40 days, he then said in Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you. For what? To feel goosebumps, to be slain in the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, if you fall in the power of the Holy Ghost, when you come up back, you must be a different person. There's no point in being slain in the power of the Holy Spirit. You come up back and you're still the same. And you shall be my witnesses. That was the purpose. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, right? It says, you shall receive power. Not for us to feel goosebumps, but for us to be effective witnesses. So, the power of the Holy Spirit enables us to become effective ministers. The power of the Holy Spirit enables me to be fit when I'm out at work. I carry the Holy Spirit who speaks to me, who whispers things to me, and I'm able to be effective in what God has called me to do. If you are a business person, you have the Holy Spirit to know what deals to get into. If you are, I don't know, a corporate person, if you are working at a house, you are working wherever you are working, I want you to know that you have the Holy Spirit who enables you to be effective. You see, we need to redefine spirituality. We are not very spiritual when we are just closed up in these four walls. And James tells us about what it is to be spiritual and to be religion. James 1:27. He says, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is true religion. You see, true religion has nothing to do with how much you've read the Bible, how many prayers you've made, how many songs you've sang. If that activity does not translate into a transformed life, it is just religiosity. After reading the word, something must change within me. After hearing the word, something must give in my spirit man that enables me to go out and help somebody who is in need, that enables me to cleanse myself from the pollution of the world. Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, do not copy the standard of this world. Do not be conformed to the standard of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I'm talking about true religiosity. So what we do with the needy around us goes beyond a philanthropic idea. It is a spiritual matter. It is when you go out into community and you're doing it not because you're Bill Gates, but because you're a child of God who wants the love of God to be seen. I'm talking about kingdom family as we come to the end. That's the last scripture this morning. And I want to ask you a question. How have you been doing in God's family? Are there things you need to deal with? And this morning, I want you to realize the grace of God is sufficient for each and every one of us. There are things I need to make right as your pastor. So when I teach like this, I'm not teaching from a place of superiority. I'm teaching from a place of being taught. A place where I'm saying, Lord, help me. I cannot do this. How can I go and face him and talk about this matter? Lord, I haven't been truthful about where I am at. Let's stand on our feet. I want us to talk to the Lord. Whatever you are experiencing, he is here today to heal. He's here to redeem. He's here to salvage whatever it is that you've experienced. Somebody needs to forgive someone today. Unforgiveness is a cage that you create around yourself. You need to release that guy. Just say, Lord, I release him today. Lord, would you come and work in our hearts today? Come on now, let's speak to the Lord. Let's pray. I know I said a lot today, but it's a moment for us just to express those things and just speak to the Lord. Ah, yes, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit of God, this morning. Ah, yes, Lord, that is who you are. Do a miracle this morning in somebody's life. Come on now, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord. Ah, yes, Lord. Touch our hearts, Lord.
I worship you.
I worship you. Come, Lord Jesus, come and do a work in our hearts today. Cleanse us, O God, in the church. Awaken us, O God, we pray. Let true religion rise up in this church, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord, we pray this morning, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We want to render true worship as a church today, Lord. We pray for mercy. We pray for grace, oh God. Oh, yes, Lord, turn around our hearts, Lord. Give us confidence, Lord, to rise up and make right. Father, we thank you for your grace, oh God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, do a miracle this morning. Lord, do a heart surgery in somebody's heart right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, it's a heart matter. We pray, Father, that you break our heart with what breaks your heart, Lord. That is who you are, Lord. Ah, yes, Lord, we thank you that you are full of forgiveness, you are full of mercy, Lord. That is who you are. We pray this morning that you do something special in this church. We pray, Father, do something different in us, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray, Father. Ah, yes, Lord, make a way in our hearts, Lord. Make a way in our hearts, Lord. Where hearts are hardened, we pray that you soften our hearts. We pray that you soften our hearts. We pray that you break through into our hearts right now. In the name of Jesus, change us inside out and do what you alone can do. We want a new move. We want an anointing of Jesus to change us this morning.
Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
My Father, my God, we trust you this morning. We need you. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I pray for your church. I pray for each one of us today. Lord, we need so much of you. Father, some of these things sound like they're beyond us. But I ask you this morning that, Lord, you'd break our hearts with what breaks your heart. Daddy, we pray that you'd breakthrough, fallow ground right now. Lord, we are willing, but we don't know how to do these things. And we ask you today that you'd enable us to let go. We ask you today for grace. Holy Spirit of God, we cannot, but you can. And we ask you this morning that you'd help someone, oh God. I pray that your grace will be showered over them in the name of Jesus. I pray for that one who's carrying a burden in their hearts. Maybe they've been betrayed, Lord. Lord, maybe they've been wounded. Maybe they've been rejected by church. Maybe, Lord, they've been wounded by this very church. We pray for mercy. We pray for your grace, oh God, for a new beginning. Lord, your word says, behold, all things are new. And so today we pray for a new season. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. I just want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you're here, you want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to recommit your life to the Lord. I want to pray with you. Jesus loves you. He died for you on the cross. And if you're here, just lift your hands and we will pray with you. Jesus will come and he'll change you inside out. If you're there, just lift your hands and I'll pray with you. Yes, Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for your people. Lord, we commit this week into your hands. As we go into it, we ask you that you would speak to us. Lord, convict us of sin and of righteousness and preserve us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, come, let's clap our hands to the Lord as we take our seats. Amen. Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much for coming to church. I'm sure the Lord has spoken to us. I'm going to ask our two sisters, if you don't mind. Brother Tabo and his wife will just have a chat with you in our visitors' lounge. And if you've got any questions, you can ask. If you need prayer, they can pray with you. So let's clap our hands as they, you can just go through into that room there. Thank you so, so much. God bless you. Awesome, awesome. All right, guys, thank you so much for coming to church today. May the Lord bless you. Let's keep on inviting people, reminding them church is open. Life is going on, amen. Because you know what? The reality of the matter is we don't know how far this COVID is going to go. We might as well go back to life where we are allowed to go back to life, amen. And continue with life in the